Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into the show. Really excited to be joined in studio by Jay Binkley here to talk some NFL draft. Bink, I appreciate you filling in for me last week when I was a little bit under the weather, man. Thank you.
We had fun. It was a lot of draft talk. I mean, we had to preface it at the beginning. We talked Royals. We led with the Royals on both days, actually. I don't know if that would be the case right now, but we did when I came in. So a lot of draft talk, too, but there were some Royals.
We are 1 week away from round one of the NFL draft. We are all going to be at the landing in Liberty. We did this last year.
Yeah,
it was certainly
fun.
A whole lot of fun. Really excited to do it again this
awesome
year.
Awesome place.
You got a chance to win almost $1,000 by filling out our draft contest. You also got a chance to win a game-worn autographed helmet from Jawan Taylor if you come out there. So highly encouraging everybody listening, stop by the landing in Liberty for round one of the draft. So I want to start national, and then we'll focus in on what Veach, and then we'll get to local, and we'll talk about the Chiefs and what you think they are going to do. Let's start with this. I think there's four major questions heading into round one of the draft. Number one, where does Shedeur Sanders land? I was just listening to Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter believes that he could go anywhere from 9 to 21. I think there is a chance that he maybe goes a little bit higher than people think, kind of like what happened last year with Michael Penix. There is just always going to be an urgency for that position. I don't know where he is going to go. If you're asking me today to place a bet, a wager on it, I think he's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I also could see the Saints with the injury that we saw to Derek Carr. Where do you think Shedeur goes? Do you think that's the number one storyline heading into the draft?
I do. 9, I think he goes to the New Orleans Saints. Shedeur Sanders there. He won't make it past Pittsburgh at 21, but I think that, but clearly I think he'll be gone at 9 to New Orleans. I mean, there's been a lot of buzz and a lot of people talk about him going to the Giants at 3. It's like, man, then I'm passing on Abdul Carter. I mean, that is a gift, Abdul Carter, being able to go to the Giants, so he won't be going there. Even though they need a quarterback desperately.
The second question that I think is, and I think we're starting to get more clarity on this, but I would say maybe up until the day of the draft, we don't know. We all know who's going number one overall. I think there's a legitimate argument at number two, and I love Travis Hunter. He is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generational prospect, but the argument to me with Cleveland would be a very simple one. And we got a chance to build an elite pass rush. We have the best pass rusher in the National Football League on one side with Myles Garrett. We got a chance to put the best pass rusher in the draft on the other side of him with Abdul Carter and really wreak havoc up front and build what we think is the strongest defensive line in football. Or we can draft the ultra-talented Travis Hunter. He could maybe be an all-pro wide receiver, could maybe be an all-pro corner, could help us out in a lot of different ways. How Cleveland feels after the quarterback is off the board, I don't think that any of us know. I think they're leaning toward Travis Hunter if you were buying the smoke, but at this point, that's all it is. It's just smoke. We're not going to have that answer until Thursday.
Yeah, it's what Vegas likes the best, Travis Hunter there. Cleveland, in my opinion, it can't go any other way but Travis Hunter. That's the thing. I understand what you're saying about this elite pass rush with Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter. It works out fine because they're both different side defensive ends. Myles Garrett could play where he normally does, and Abdul Carter could play where he normally does against that left tackle. But you think about some of the talent on the defense. Grant Delpit's there. Greg Newsom's coming back. They got to find a way to score points. They do. That offense for Cleveland is weak. The quarterback position, as we know, is weak with this team as well. With Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett there, and, well, Deshaun Watson, doubt he plays at all this year. But Cedric Tillman sitting there, wide receiver. You know, Mari Toomer's gone. Jerry Jeudy still there. Michael Woods. They're going to need a wide receiver. And Travis Hunter, it looks more and more like he'll play receiver. Like, if they tell him, hey, you're being receiver, he'll do it. He'll do both. I mean, I think he's going to do both, to be honest with you. Different packages. I don't think all-time, full-time like he did in college football. Even though he had 382 more snaps than anybody in college football last year. If anybody can do it, it's that dude. He's a unicorn. But he's so talented to be the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, win the Bednarik Award for the Defensive Player of the Year in college football, Biletnikoff Award, the Best Offensive Weapon, the Heisman Trophy. He's a marketing windfall.
What do you think his best position is? Like, let's
wide receiver.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's say a team says, wide hey, receiver. We're not letting you do both. You have to focus on one of the two of them. What do you think he's better at?
Wide receiver. I mean, I think optimally, it'd be like you're the starting corner, but yet we'll have 25 to 30 packages on offense.
That's actually what I think the ideal is, too.
That's the ideal thing, I think, for him, because it's much easier doing that than saying, well, you're the full-time receiver, and we'll put you in certain situations. We'll throw you in the nickel on defense from time to time. But he's an elite wide receiver. Not only that, but you think about what Cleveland is. Cleveland needs fan support, man. They got to drum things up. I understand Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter, who, by the way, isn't 100%. He hasn't really done anything, to be honest with you, through the combine and pro day process dealing with those offseason injuries. But Travis Hunter, he's a tough dude, man. He just plays football. He's smart, man. I mean, he made plays against UCF where he strips the ball at the very end of the game and they win, makes incredible catches, creates space. I think he's an elite wide receiver, and I think he's a marketing windfall as well, something Cleveland desperately needs. But you bring the Heisman Trophy in there, he's going to bring a lot more cash and season tickets and people going to training camp and buying merchandise than Abdul Carter.
Do you think Ashton Jeanty gets selected in the top 10?
I do.
I think there's a stretch there from about 6 to 10. All four of those teams, there's a strong argument that you should take Ashton Jeanty.
Like the Raiders. I mean,
maybe even at 5 with Jacksonville. Yeah. But I think Jacksonville's in a good situation with Etienne and Tank Bigsby, but I could see them at number 5 using a running back.
I think the Raiders at 6 if someone will watch when it comes to Ashton Jeanty. But all of a sudden, if he is still there, I see the Cowboys at 12. You know, because we've been thinking the Cowboys are going to draft a running back the last couple of years, and they haven't.
I don't think he gets past the Bears.
I don't either. I think Ashton Jeanty. Honestly, I think he goes 6 to the Raiders.
The last thing here is, the last big question I have is, I think that obviously Cam Ward gets selected in round 1. I believe Shadur is going to get selected in round 1. I also think that somebody's going to draft Jackson Dart. I don't know who that is going to be. No clue who's going to draft Jackson Dart. But I think it is pretty clear that he is locked in as the third quarterback. And I think there's going to be a team that sees the value somewhere between 24 and 32 and is going to move back up into the draft to select him. I think that Jackson Dart's getting picked in the first round.
We actually had him going to Pittsburgh, you know, in our all 32 team mock. We had him going 21 to Pittsburgh. So that was, we had Shadur going earlier. So obviously, you know, Pittsburgh looked at that quarterback. It was Jackson Dart at 21 that we had him. I agree with you on it. He's definitely a first round quarterback, in my opinion. We had him going 21 to Pittsburgh in our mock.
Yeah, I don't love him as a prospect, but I just think that. I think it has been established that there is such a wide gap between getting Jackson Dart and whoever you have as the fourth prospect. Like, I think this could be a scenario kind of like what we saw last year. Now, the top of quarterback class was just far stronger than this year. But what I mean is, we saw Bo Nix go at 12. There was not another quarterback that went off the board until 150. I think we could see Jackson Dart come off the board at, let's say, 22. And then we don't see another quarterback come off the board until the fourth round. I think there is that much of a gap in how people feel about Jackson Dart than Quinn Ewers, Will Howard, Kyle McCord, all of those other QBs.
I agree with you. And had Penix been in this draft, like, there would have been discussion with he and Cam Ward, to be honest with you.
I agree.
Like, there would have been real discussion with the injury concerns. Michael Penix would have come up. You know, he's injured when he was at Indiana before he transferred to Washington. That would have come out. It looks like a home run from Atlanta. It always kind of looked like a joke that here's Atlanta, you know, drafting Bijan when they already had Algier on the roster, went for 1,000 yards. Then they had Kirk Cousins. They get paid a lot of money. Then they go out and get Michael Penix. But I think Atlanta was in a panic situation. They said, okay, here's Michael Penix. We're top 10. We don't expect to be in the top 10 in the future, and the quarterbacks the next couple of years are bad unless you're being awful for Archie.
All right, so let's go through some of the things that Brett Veach had to say as he met with the media earlier today. Here he is talking about the depth at certain positions in the NFL draft. Here's Brett Veach as he met with the media earlier today.
So the defensive line class in general is good. I think that's probably driven more so by the depth at D end. I think there's a lot of D ends, and I think that running backs is certainly, I think, the deepest class in the draft. A close second would be D end. I think the interior defensive line numbers are I think better than most years, but I don't think they come anywhere close to the D line depth and the corner depth. I think those two are just wow. I mean, you look at the board and those names go from top to bottom. Interior O-line is light.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Corner, I think, is actually decent in the middle rounds. I think D-line is okay, but I don't think it's any more or less than any one particular. I think that where you're getting the big numbers from top to bottom are D-end and running backs.
I love this running back class. I think this is a class where it doesn't matter how big of a need you feel like you have at this position. I think there's enough running backs to be able to fill it. If you're a team that wants a home run, Ashton Jeanty is there. If you're a team that's looking for a running back in round one that you think can make a difference, I think the Hampton kid out of North Carolina is really good. If you're a team like Kansas City and you don't want to spend a first-round pick, but you're selected near the bottom of the second, early third round, I think the couple of running backs from Ohio State make a lot of sense. I think R.J. Harvey out of UCF makes a lot of sense. I think there's some Pro Bowl caliber running backs that are going to be selected on day two and day three of this thing. I agree with him when it comes to the depth, and ultimately I want the Chiefs to grab one of those.
I would never do it in the first round. I'm walking away from that. I know people were enamored last year the way Saquon Barkley played. Oh, man, running backs can make the difference on a team. And Derrick Henry with what he did going from Tennessee and the great years he had, a great year he had there in Baltimore. He looked lightning quick again like he did as a young running back. But I think people got a little too enamored in running backs being the game changers. I think they're good, complementary pieces, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all. I mean, just where we're sitting 2 years ago and 3 years ago when you talk about running backs being a dime a dozen, yeah, they could be impact players. They take a lot of abuse, too, a lot of hits. So I would definitely shy away from the first round. I'm 100% with him on the depth. It's interesting, Veach said it's his number one draft class. We've had Thor Nystrom. We had him on this show when you were gone last week, actually, a draft guy for Fantasy Life. He came out right out and said, last week or whatever it was, make running backs my top class. And he's been on our draft special, and, too, the running backs are a top draft class. I don't agree with that. I would put him number three as far as position group. It's not like defensive line. An edge better, to be honest with you, and then I'd have running backs there. But, man, it is just loaded. But the thing is, I keep hearing, and I think one of the good follow-up questions to Veach should have been, yes, you talk about the depth of running back, and, yeah, there's a bunch of running backs, but how many of those can you whittle down that have all three things you're looking for? Like, how many are good blockers, good pass catchers, and can also be good in a return game as well? Because those are all important. That whittles it down a lot. When you start marketing out, right, who's the best pass catcher, who's the best blocker, who can actually, because Veach brought it up there, we've talked about that, they're moving the ball to 35, so you're going to have it more, it's going to be more instrumental for guys in their past and their history to return kicks. I mean, that's an important thing, but who's the best blocker, who can catch out of the backfield, forget about running the ball, they can do that stuff, but those are the most important things to Andy Reid, but can you return kicks as well? I think once you do that, you start whittling it down. I think you whittle this down a lot.
I mean, a big thing for me is, and I understand they're looking at having a guy that can help you in special teams and all of that. I don't care about that as much.
Yeah, they're not drafting for deep
team. I mean, that's what I think Nico Remigio is for. Like that, his job is to be that home run for you. I think maybe the point that me and the text line and me and Chiefs fans maybe disagree the most, I don't think their offensive line was great in the Super Bowl, but what I think was very noticeable in watching the Eagles and watching Kansas City's offense is The Eagles got four or five guys that are home run hitters. The Chiefs had one person in their offense like that last year. Now, some of that was injuries last season, but that's not what Kareem Hunt was last year. That's not what Travis Kelce was. Like, they don't have guys that can hit home runs. I want them to go get guys that can hit home runs. They had the fewest rush attempts last year that went for 20 yards. So I'm looking for in the run game, who's somebody that can change the course of a game and really change our offense? Can we add another player opposite Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice that we think can hit home runs for us in the offense? That's what I would be prioritizing for them looking at skill position players.
I'm 100% with you. You've got to find a way to separate yourself on the scoreboard. Yeah, they did win those one-score games. That's great and all, but do you think you can actually count on that going forward all the time winning those games? You can't. You got to be able to put the ball in the end zone and start racking up points and putting the other team away. Isaiah Pacheco is interesting to me because here's the guy that ran a 4.37 at the combine. He's got that breakaway speed. He does. But everybody considers him this power running back and angry runs and throws guys off until it's third and one or fourth and one, and he doesn't do it. That's why they brought Kareem Hunt back.
Yeah.
And it's way around halftime towards the second half. It was Kareem Hunt getting the ball on third and one and fourth and one, not Isaiah Pacheco. And I understand he got hurt and all that, but I think a lot of his productivity is completely overblown in this town. I think some people look at him as a superstar and all that. He's not. And so finding a running back in the system is where I think they'll draft 100% this year, someone they can put in. They can have three down backs, like a Dylan Sampson's my favorite back out of Tennessee. They just leave in there. He blocks. He does everything. Catches out of the backfield. He's faster than hell. He was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year.
I like him a lot, too.
Which I think Brett Veach values that. I mean, we're talking about Mr. SEC Brett Veach. I mean, he is SEC and MAC guy. When he was with Philadelphia, he was the SEC scout. I mean, it's really put their best. But he's 100% about the SEC, and that does matter to him. It's why Clyde was drafted, to be honest with you, when he came out of LSU. It's why they did that, because he came out of the SEC. It didn't work out because sometimes things don't work out. But no, I'm with you. Home run hitters, because you can't count on everything. Because, yes, you have Patrick Mahomes. Do you think, honestly, Carrington, at your age, they'll ever have a quarterback to win, go to five Super Bowls and win three? No. He's going to go to more. You know that.
Yeah.
But never. In my lifetime, you're never going to see it. I haven't seen it before. I mean, I came there at the tail end at all. I didn't see it before. I saw a whole lot of crap in between Dawson and Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think they're finding Tom Brady again the way
they
did this time.
And, you know, New England's not going to find him either.
Yeah.
You know? So here's the deal. While you have him, load him up with weapons. Don't sit here after he retires going, man, I wish we should have given him more weapons. Man, if you had Peyton Manning, you gave him Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. You know, that did help. And Dallas Carr, hey, you throw the ball. But you go into last year, don't look at things on paper and say you're set, because you're not set, just like Veach said. You know, that's why they had to go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. When all of a sudden the first play of the preseason, your big free agent acquisition is out in Hollywood Brown, essentially what, nine catches he had because he came back at the end of the year. Then in L.A., Rashee Rice gets hurt. So, boom, you're down your top two receivers. And then you're relying unreasonable expectations on your rookie wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, who wasn't ready yet. Like, he wasn't ready at the end. He got ready, and sure, down the end of the stretch of the postseason, he's your best receiver. But they put this pressure on him to be this standout guy now. And he wasn't ready for that. He needed to just, you know, sit behind Hollywood, you know, and Rashee Rice and do his deal and then emerge. But which worked out because he ended up being better than I think that people expected Xavier Worthy to be. But I 100% draft wide receivers and be like, we don't need him. We don't need him. Did you need him last year? Because you did.
If I gave you a free $100 right now, I guess I'll ask you two questions. So I'll give you 50 now and I'll give you 50 for the second question. Right now, offensive linemen and defensive linemen are by far and away favorites for what they're going to draft. Offensive lineman right now is at minus 115. Defensive lineman is at plus 165. Do you think it's more likely? I mean, because Vegas thinks it's more likely they draft an offensive lineman than a defensive lineman.
Yeah, because Vegas watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you've studied this. Do you think it's more likely they draft an offensive lineman than a defensive lineman?
I think it's more likely for defensive lineman. I think that's somebody they can count on. And again, you're going to throw somebody. I understand when you look at it, but hey, you look at the offensive line. It's Juwan Taylor. That's your guy. He's back. You think about those offensive line? Oh, your right guard, Trey Smith. He's back. Your center, Creed Humphrey. He's back. All right, where's this offensive line gotten better? Like, I've just mentioned the right side from center on. Same guys. Left guard is not going to be Joe Tooney. And I know Joe Tooney didn't work out with the shorter arms at tackle. But you know what? It's going to be a downgrade. I don't care who you have play left guard. It's not going to be left guard as good as Joe Tooney. It's just not going to be. It's going to be a downgrade at the position. So they've downgraded left guard. And then you got left tackle that's a big question mark. and Jalen Moore. So
have
yes.
they upgraded at left tackle? And this is what I mean.
Maybe. I mean, they've had four different in the Super Bowls. Every Super Bowl has been a different left tackle. Maybe upgraded. I can't definitively say yes or no because we don't know enough about Jalen.
Yeah, because that's the question that I have.
One thing we know is he was Sky Moore's teammate at Western Michigan, and he sat behind Trent Williams.
Because this is, I guess, where I'm at is, I know they have went out and they've paid a left tackle. There's no question to me. But I've heard people say, man, the offensive line was the biggest problem, biggest problem, biggest problem. I'm not really sure if the offensive line that they're going to have from week one against whomever their opponent is. We don't know yet. I don't know if that offensive line is going to be better than the one they had in the Super Bowl. Because, yes, I think that Jalen Moore is a better option than their week one left tackle option. Is he a better option than their week 15 left tackle option? I'm not sure if Jalen Moore is a better left tackle than Joe Tooney is as a left tackle, well, but you're right there.
Yeah.
They are worse at left guard. 100%.
They're going to be. I don't care who they go out and get. It's going to be a downgrade to an all pro in Joe Tooney. Now, what do you say? All right, Mahomes going to have to get rid of the football quicker. You don't want that. You want to be able to air it out. You want those St. Joe Chiefs to come back. Remember last year we sit here and watch Twitter and everything when you see the bombs to Worthy and Hollywood Brown and all that. That wasn't the team. I mean, it was the team they were supposed to be.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But that's not the team you got because injuries dictated they had to play a different style. And credit them for winning 15 games for what they had. They manufactured those wins. So a ton of credit to them. But no, you need talent at wide receiver. You need the weapons. The one thing I like about Jalen Moore is he's got that. It's a proven deal. Like, it behooves him to go out and play.
Oh, for sure.
And play well because he can make money. Because if not, you see what happened to Hollywood Brown. This was going to be Hollywood Brown. When they signed him, remember Veach? Oh, we got him for 1 year and all this. We all thought Hollywood Brown 1 year. Then all of a sudden the injury came. It was like, I think Hollywood Brown might be in the mix again, right? Yeah, so you always have to take that into consideration. But I think defensive line, I know everybody's enamored with offense, but do you really trust a rookie being thrown in there with Mahomes? When most of these, quote, left tackles, if they're a true left tackle, they're going early in the draft. The ones at 31, probably going to be moved to right tackle or guard.
I'll ask you this really quick. I know we're up against it here. Let's say they don't go on the offensive line. I mean, basically after that, you're taking a dart. Where do you think they could go if they don't go on the line of scrimmage in round one?
If they don't go round one, I think defensive line becomes 100% what they do in round two. Is that what your question is?
Yeah, no, I'm asking is, so let's say they don't take an offensive line or defensive line. What's the other position?
He's still there. Yeah. Tedder Romulan keeps falling, but I don't see him going to the Chiefs, but I go wide receiver. There's a chance that Burden's there.
That is our guy Binkley joining us on the show. Binkley will join us a lot over the next 10 days. We are 7 days away from the NFL draft. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.